This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Gary Plummer, President and CEO, Wichita Regional Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to Issues 2019.
Thank you very much, Steve.
You've been with us a couple of times on the show. You know how this works, don't you?
Absolutely. Always look forward to it.
Let's begin with your annual meeting coming up November 19th. What's on the agenda for that evening? What are you going to be doing that night?
Well, we have two political commentators who are going to be joining us that night, and they're going to be moderated by our current chairman of the board, Michael Monteferranti. That includes Michael Steele, who has been a former lieutenant governor of Maryland and also served as a chairman of the Republican National Committee. And then we also have Paul Begalia, who is a CNN political commentator and was formerly an advisor to President Bill Clinton.
So it should have at least a little balance there, huh?
I think so, yeah. Actually, both of them are kind of considered moderates, but they do come from a little different place on the spectrum. We're looking at not just what's happening in Washington, but really throughout the world.
All right. And will your moderator, will be capable of separating them if they go to blows or anything?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Michael played football for Boise State, so I think he'll be just fine.
Think he can handle himself?
Yes, sir.
All right. How many people actually attend that annual meeting, Gary?
We usually have between about 1,200 to even up to 3,000. I know the very first year I was here, we had former President George W. Bush, and we had about 3,000 people that night. And I think the only time we've ever topped that was when Charles Koch appeared at the event and was interviewed by the folks who are from the Morning Joe program.
Yeah, that was a big one. Now, who goes to these meetings? Is it just chamber members?
Well, certainly the overwhelming majority are members of the chamber, and we have a lot of companies who sponsor the event and bring their top employees there. This year, our presenting sponsor is Interest Bank. For example, other top sponsors include Cox, Spirit, and Evergy. So it's certainly dominated by the business community, but we have folks from throughout the community who are there because they're interested in the topic. And we also even offer a discount for somebody who wants to come just for the program, Skip the Meal, which is a pretty affordable, entertaining evening for folks.
So you have tickets available then?
Yes, sir.
Go to your webpage, I guess.
Yes, go to wichitachamber.org.
You know, who are some of the other guest speakers you've had in past years? You had named some pretty big ones right there.
And in recent years, we had Dick Vitale and Coach Marshall were on the stage together. We've had Dr. Condoleezza Rice and Bob Gates, both formerly Secretaries of State. We had Mary Matlin and James Carville. That was before my time, as well as the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush was with us as well. So we've had some really significant speakers. I think I've heard you talk on your program about Doris Kearns Goodwin. Did you make that event?
Yes. She is one of my favorite history writers, and I was able to corner her somehow and get my book autographed.
Oh, good for you.
Team of Rivals.
So, yes.
And it was, yes. You know you've got some great speakers. I mean, really, there's some people that are very, very interesting. So I'm looking forward to this one coming up.
Yes, sir.
It'll be great. Chamber recently sponsored its big annual business mixer called Exposure. How did that go, Gary?
That's always a popular event for our members. We had over 200 exhibitors and about 1,800 visitors that day at Century 2. It was a very successful event. And I have exhibitors tell me all the time how much business they can do in one day, not strictly at their booth, but by also circulating throughout the hall and seeing a lot of their customers and potential customers in the room for the day. And just a great response from that. We actually kicked it off with a breakfast where the keynote speaker was the owner of the Wichita baseball team. Lou was with us, and a lot of his top executive leadership was there. So we had a great day.
You know, on something like that, I would say if you're going to be there, have somebody stay in your booth, and then the other person go out and just circulate, like you were talking about.
Oh, no.
You got to get on foot and talk to people, because there are tons of interesting people there.
There are, and that's certainly a formula for success. We see a lot of our members who do not do a booth, but are still at that event, and they're doing exactly that. They're making some great contacts around the room.
The Chamber has made use of the Century 2 facilities many, many times over the years, and now there is public discussion over the future of Century 2, as you know, and city plans are for performing arts and convention facilities. Is the Chamber taking any position on that?
Well, the only role that we have carved out at this time is we're one of the five or six business and community organizations who have invested dollars in this master plan process that's underway right now. And we stepped up and did that. Partially with the assistance of W, which formerly was YPW, and they're our young professional organization. And also the Wichita Educational Foundation helped us with that financial commitment as well. And so right now we're going through a community input process. We had 450 people attend four different tours of the riverfront just last week, and I think a lot of folks have enjoyed sharing their ideas and asking questions. There's definitely not a plan yet. We're anxious to see what may come out before the end of the year, and then we'll have to decide at that point where the Chamber stands on the different scenarios that will probably be evaluated at that time.
I tell you what, I've already seen some disagreement about what to do with the round structure known as Century 2. Any thoughts on that at all?
Well, certainly there's a lot of support for that, and it is an iconic image, particularly from the air in Wichita. And, you know, we're very sensitive to that, and we're gathering a lot of input. There are some advocacy groups out there now who have planted their flag in the ground on saving Century 2. Our coalition is not an advocacy group. We're just about developing a vision for the future of that area. We think it will have a long-lasting impact on our region. And so we're trying to keep an open mind and let the planning process play itself out.
Let's talk a little bit about the structure of the Chamber of Commerce. I know you have a building. I know you have employees. Are there various committees or groups within the Chamber that function?
Absolutely. Yes. Our forefathers at the Chamber in the early 70s bought a piece of ground and built that building. It was later added onto in the mid-80s. We just invested about $500,000 in that structure 2 years ago as part of our centennial at the Chamber and really refreshed the look of the space, particularly on the ground floor. And we also took care of a lot of deferred maintenance like roofing and the boiler and that sort of thing. So we're very proud of that building and the foresight that the folks before me and before all of us had at the Chamber. We have 20 staff people in that building. We also have a few small organizations who rent a little bit of space from us too. But it's a pretty busy place, and we, as you said, we have a very active committee structure. I've got a board of directors of about 50 business and community leaders, and they set the direction, and our role as a staff is to execute on that plan.
So that's what I was interested in. How often do they meet, Gary?
The board of directors meets every other month.
Okay.
We have an executive committee made up of about 20 leaders that meets on those alternating months. We have a planning retreat coming up in late October, which we'll do at Newman University. And we're looking at the final touches on a three-year strategic plan that the board and the staff work together on and under the leadership of Chairman Monty Ferranti. And also with a lot of help from Ed O'Malley from the Kansas Leadership Center helped facilitate that process. So we're excited about the future of the chamber and where we're headed.
I'm sure you're not going to ask me to be on the board, but who do you get to sit
you would,
on?
You would make a fantastic board member.
No, no, I wouldn't. I would be napping probably. Who do you get? And how do you find? Who do you choose for something like that?
Well, we try to have a balance, male, female, small business, big business. We try to be very inclusive with different sectors of the community. Some of our leaders right now that will are in line to follow Chairman Monty Ferranti include Janetta Everett with Delta Dental, who will be our chairman. Actually, she'll be going by the title of chair.
Chair, not chairman.
Absolutely.
That's good. Yeah.
And we're very proud of the leadership role she's already played with us on issues like diversity and inclusion. And then following her will be Ben Hutton with Hutton Corporation, and he's a fantastic emerging leader in our community, been very involved in this riverfront project, for example. And then we have some other folks who play a key leadership role. Our vice chairman of talent is Gabe Schlickall from Meritrust Credit Union, and our vice chairman of small business is Joy Akins, and Greg Clenda from Clenda Osterman is our vice chair of membership. And like I say, we have 45 to 50 folks on that, including some folks from McConnell Air Force Base, for example. So it's a pretty good cross-section of the community.
Okay. Is there lunch? Oh, never mind.
Lunch is provided.
Good.
Absolutely.
I hope so. You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Gary Plummer, President and CEO, Wichita Regional Chamber of Commerce. South Central Kansas has struggled since the 2008 recession. And I'll just tell you, I had a conversation with Pat Hanrahan from United Way the other day. And he said, as far as charitable organizations, they're still not recovered from this thing. What do you think? Is the local economy fully recovered, partially recovered? Will we ever be the same again?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I got here in 2011, so I was right on the heels of the major recession that started in 2008. We have seen the chamber make a comeback since then. Our membership is up probably about 15 or 20% since 2008 and 9, and so we're seeing some positive trends. I also think that just in the last 3 or 4 years, you've seen some things going on in the aviation sector that are very promising for the future. And I can see where, you know, for example, when Textron merged the Beechcraft and Cessna operations in our community, they certainly found some economies of scale. But we're so fortunate that that merger occurred because that has kept a lot of control here locally, and they're able to continue supporting organizations like United Way and the Chamber and many others. So we see a pretty positive economy right now. And of course, there are folks speculating about what may be coming in the future. But we'll just hold on tight and deal with whatever happens.
You know, as somebody who spent my adult life in Wichita, it just sometimes has seemed like all those aviation eggs in one basket has been great, but sometimes it's hurt us too. We've gone up and down sometimes on that, booming and busting.
Yeah.
Is aviation, I'm sure, probably still at the center, but we have other things going on as well, I hope.
Oh, absolutely. Look at, I mean, the Cargill decision to stay here with their protein headquarters a couple of years ago was huge for this community. In fact, I think it really kind of set a milestone for the momentum that we're experiencing right now in our community, a lot of positive things happening, like the new baseball stadium and other things. You know, I don't believe I have really seen the swings that the community may have experienced in the past on aviation, because Spirit's business is so strong, and also it's that way in the general aviation sector as well. So, and you know, they have jobs they could fill right now if we could provide the talent for them. And I really see that as kind of the major challenge that we have when it comes to economic development right now, is taking advantage of the opportunities we have by attracting and retaining good talent in Wichita. And that, in a large part, is why we're working on a project like the Riverfront Legacy, because we want to send a message to young people all over the Midwest where Wichita is headed, and invite them to be a part of that.
You know, and that was my next question was, the local unemployment rate just over 3%. Is it good news or bad news?
Well, I tell you what, I have been in situations like Waterloo, Iowa, earlier in my career, after a big layoff from John Deere in that community.
Yeah.
And so there's problems with 12% unemployment, just as there are some challenges with 3% unemployment. But I would rather be dealing with the 3% unemployment challenges. And it all comes back to providing that skilled workforce pipeline that they need to grow.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, the challenge of attracting and retaining qualified workers. You got to have a group of people in the region who are working on this. Well, how can we attract these people to come here and stay here?
Well, I have seen an amazing collaboration here in Wichita in the last couple of years from both the public and private sector on this issue of talent. You've seen organizations like the Greater Wichita Partnership step up and are doing some very intense marketing throughout the country right now to try to raise the awareness of Wichita on everybody's minds. You've seen city and county leadership work closer than ever with McConnell Air Force Base on trying to retain some of those airmen as they transition out of military service, and that's something that we continue to focus on. And then you have seen the higher education community led by Wichita State Tech, for example, is trying to be very adaptive to what the needs are in the community, and certainly Butler, Newman, Friends, and Hutch College, and everyone else has been involved in that too, trying to really see how they can meet the needs of the business community and be flexible with their programming.
You know, you bring up a good point, and I'm not familiar with other communities our size, but I don't know how many communities have as many post-secondary education, junior college, right around in this area. Seems like we have a lot of opportunities for people to be educated here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're very blessed. And it goes out, if you look at 50 miles and you bring in, you know, real assets like Cali Community College and Tabor and
Hutch,
others.
Hutch Duke, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we're very blessed. But this situation we're facing on talent is not unique to Wichita. As I talk to my peers throughout the country, particularly in the metro level, they're all working very hard to try to overcome that. And the key to success is just to differentiate your community from others by being innovative and being collaborative and leveraging our resources the best we can. This Wichita Promise project that WSU Tech and the Wichita Community Foundation done is just one example of how community organizations can partner to try to make a difference, and they're having a real impact.
At one time, my wife worked for Rent-A-Center when they had their headquarters here, and one of the things that she always said was, we bring in these high-priced executives in here. This was back in the day. The first thing they say is they can get about twice the quality or for their money when it comes to housing. To buy a house here is really good, and they just like the pace and the size of the community. There are some good talking points on Wichita.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's why we put such an emphasis on our Young Professional Program, because they now are probably in the top 10 organizations like that around the country. They have 3,500 members, and they are engaging that young talent in such a way, and they're connecting them with the community, and they're giving young people an opportunity to be a leader here in Wichita that they don't get that same opportunity in bigger cities around the country. And so that stickiness that they are working on between young people and this community is very important to our future.
I want to talk about specifically about a couple of things that are, I think are exciting things going on in the community and get your comments on it. Let's start with Intrust Bank Arena. Seems to be doing quite well.
Oh, no question about that. What an asset. And, you know, that happened shortly before my arrival, but I can't find anyone who looks back and thinks that was a bad idea, but I understand it took two or three times before they passed that issue.
And it barely passed.
Yeah, but what a huge asset. And it's paid for, and that tax was removed. And, you know, maybe there's a model there that we can use as we look at the riverfront on things like performing arts and convention centers.
Yeah, it's a good model, I think. Wichita's new stadium coming along. You talked about the baseball, the owner of the franchise. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. I think that's going to really change the environment in downtown Wichita. AAA baseball is huge, and I know in communities where it exists, it can really build momentum in a community and have a team that the whole community is following when basketball is not playing. Obviously, we already have a team to follow there, but to have a baseball team to follow and support and see the development that's happening around it, particularly in Delano. And it's going to be an exciting place for people of all ages to be and great family entertainment. They're, I understand, keeping their prices very low. And I think we're going to see a real success story on the west side of the river.
And how about Eisenhower National Airport?
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
I know I've talked to a couple of people who arrived at that terminal for the first time and thought they were in the wrong community. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a dramatic impact in the design and the way they designed that to make it friendly to the traveler is just outstanding. It's certainly a wonderful first impression for Wichita.
Now, in a few months, not very long from now, the Kansas legislature will convene in Topeka. You talk about a couple of the specific goals that you might have for the chamber with the legislature this year coming up?
Well, I think very close to what we worked on and focused on last year, we're going to be talking about workforce development and how the state can be a partner in trying to build that pipeline of talent in Kansas. Mental health is a big issue and something that a coalition of business and community leaders are working on right now in Wichita. In fact, we our city-to-city trip just last month was to San Antonio, Texas, primarily because of a model they have there on dealing with the homeless and mentally ill and drug abuse and things like that. And so I think that's going to continue to be a hot issue for our community and the chamber. And transportation is very important. Our number one priority right now in the region is the North Junction at that intersection just north of town. And we have communities in the region like Newton and McPherson and others that are stepping forward and identifying that project as their number one priority too. And so we're seeing a much more cohesive approach to transportation funding on needs like that here in South Central Kansas than we've ever seen before.
And I've talked to the sheriff and the police chief on several occasions about the issue of mental health and the fact that their officers are confronting people on the streets who shouldn't be on the streets and putting them in the jail where they shouldn't go.
Yeah,
this is a problem, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And there's certainly got to be a better way than having our police department spend that much time on that issue when there are other things they need to be focusing on.
Anything else you want to talk about today? Anything that's really new and exciting that I haven't covered?
Well, you know, we're excited about the annual meeting again.
Absolutely.
And I think we have two great speakers. It's going to be an entertaining evening. And folks from any side of the political spectrum, I think, are going to get their views heard at that event. And we'd like to invite everybody to join us.
Haven't you, in the past, you've done Q&A. Will you do that with these two?
Yes.
That's always kind of fun. Somebody from the audience gets up and...
Yeah, I'm not sure about questions from the audience, but I know that we'll have our board chairman, Michael Montefiore, well prepared to address some issues and steer the conversation towards something that'll be relevant to Wichita.
So you've been in town a few years. What do you think? You like this place?
We love Wichita. You know, I couldn't answer that any other way.
Here's a softball for you.
Thank you very much for that. But no, my family loves it here, and we're certainly glad that we moved here 8 years ago. It's been a great experience for us.
And where were you before then?
I was in Springfield, Illinois.
Springfield, Illinois. Hey, That's where the President Abraham Lincoln is buried.
Yes.
I've only been there once. I got to go back because I've become a Lincoln guy since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
And a lot of history there in Springfield.
There absolutely is.
All right. Well, listen, thank you again for spending some time with me, Gary. It's always a pleasure. We cover a lot of what's going on in Wichita, primarily in the business community, but the Chamber of Commerce is, listen to what we've had to say. It's involved in a lot more things than just business. There's a lot going on here. Thanks again for spending some time with us. Our guest, Gary Plummer, President and CEO, Wichita Regional Chamber of Commerce. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.